I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.
It's raining men, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Betfair. Manchester United host Fulham in the Prem, and the League Cup final is here. It's Friday, 23rd of Feb. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Eddie Russell.
Hello, everybody. It's a pleasure to be back in the studio. Oh, the illnesses can't keep me down forever, Andy.
Woo! Yeah. Well, you didn't address, don't look at me, you didn't address that to me. You didn't invite my opinion on your illness.
All right, fine.
Yeah.
Just a little reminder, though, to catch this week's Ramble Uncut over on the Football Ramble Patreon, because it was a Luke and Jim special.
It was special, actually.
Flipping.
A lot of Brian Adams.
Yeah, you found out that Brian has a bar named after him at the Ricoh Arena.
Yeah, it's weird. When we did Brian Adams chat on there, Jim was kind of fine with it. He was very, very malleable. But I did feel like I needed you with me there, Marcus, because you know you would have jumped on board and said, yeah, I like a bit of Brian Adams, and it would have been fine.
Would I have said
Yeah,
that?
I think so. Okay. Yeah. Don't tell me you're sat in there in that position as a card-carrying Bon Jovi fan club member and telling me you don't like Brian Adams. Because if that's the case, I don't know where I am.
I could name about four or five songs I quite like of his.
And that's a good start.
And that's all you need, everybody.
And that's a start to a night out. Let's see where it takes us.
Yeah, you wouldn't end with Brian.
Nah,
probably not. You'd just probably start there.
Or a little slow one at the end.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Grab yourself a lucky lady.
And it's all for
exactly.
It's all for love.
I educated Jim on that. Yeah. The theme tune to the Three Musketeers movie.
Look at him.
Andy's desperate to start the show normally, and he still feels like we haven't started. Let's look at his face. His face looks like we haven't started.
Oh, I just think you lot are criminals for not going for Summer of 69 first.
We did talk about
Summer of 69.
Okay.
A lot,
okay. Yeah.
It's too stupid, studenty, Andy.
Marcus, I got Jim to admit
Yep.
That at the very least, Brian knows his way around a chorus.
There you go.
And that's what I wanted. That was the negotiation I wanted. That's a compromise.
I don't know that I was denying that at any point, yeah. To be fair.
No, but that's what you offered as like a kind of an olive branch.
I see.
I suppose he's quite football relevant because he's best pals with Jose Mourinho.
There we go. Mm.
He's a big Chelsea man. We will get to the cup final in a minute, Andy. Come on, Bennett.
Quick answer. Yes. Bon Jovi doing Definitely Maybe. Are you going?
I think we'd all have to.
What's
go
not to like? Sign me up.
Yeah.
I'm going VIP.
I mean, well, Liam Gallagher apparently, you know, was phoning John Bond, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Was he
really?
Giving him dodgy calls.
Yeah, John Bon Jovi.
What?
Yeah, John Bon Jovi offered him $500,000 to leave him alone. And Liam Gallagher told him to get fucked.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
One of the best things was that he kept calling him Lionhead. That his music was shit.
Yeah.
Anyway,
wow.
If you are new to the Football Ramble, please don't take
not
us
now.
To the...
It was lovely to meet you.
Don't take us to the Trades Description Act. We will talk about football, I promise you. So anyway, if you want that kind of crap, ramble uncut.
What a sell. What a sell.
If you want to listen to that and get every single episode from us on the continent up front completely ad-free, then search patreon.com/footballramble or hit the link in the show description. You didn't just talk about Brian Adams. You mentioned Queen as well.
We did. A bit of Phil Brown.
Yeah, quite Phil Brown led to all of it, really.
Yeah, keeping the planet.
He was the keystone.
Keeping the Phil Brown flame alive. Always. The candle must never go. It's like the Olympic torch.
Yeah.
Phil Brown must always be in our thoughts.
That's bronzed fire.
Yeah. Absolutely, in a blaze of glory. Right, yeah. Chelsea versus Liverpool on Sunday, 3 p.m. The first domestic silverware of the season is up for grabs. These two faced each other in the Carabao Cup back in 2022. Liverpool won it 11-10. On penalties after Kepa missed the decisive kick. Incredible stuff it was, Jim.
It was. It's an interesting one to approach as a neutral, isn't it? Because Chelsea winning is boring. Liverpool not winning is funny.
Yeah.
Liverpool winning is boring. Chelsea not winning is funny. So
yeah.
you have to take what you can from it, I think.
Yeah.
Are you going to watch it?
Yes, I will.
Okay. I mean, not a ringing endorsement of this fixture featuring these two fine and historic football clubs.
Especially given the prize money on offer.
Yeah, I mean, 100 grand is up for grabs.
That won't get Liam Gallagher to leave you alone.
That's for a minute. It's great when the prize money...
Five times that way.
It's great when the prize money is less than the amount of money that these players playing in it would pick up off the floor if they dropped it.
It is 100... There is, I'm sure there'll be a new Ant and Dec show on Saturday night that you can win more on.
Yeah.
Probably
more entertaining as well.
Well, I hope not.
No, we all hope not.
There'll be people... Maybe millions... Think of the worldwide audience.
Yeah, you're still thinking about Kepa not being there, aren't you?
A little bit.
Yeah. You're thinking the cup finals that they had in that season when they both went to penalties.
Would you remember when they?
But it was an entertaining penalty shootout.
It was, and the Kepa had a little lovely old time of it. I think, generally speaking, that kind of more recent rivalry that grew up between Chelsea and Liverpool back, you know, not that long ago.
Champions League semi-finals,
yeah, all that kind of stuff. It was around the. I'm not suggesting the games between the two teams were always boring, but it was around that time when the big teams playing each other was really boring.
I know what you mean.
It was like a very, very nip and tuck. There'd be a lot of nil-nils. And then, thankfully, we seem to have left that mini era of the Premier League behind because there's loads of goals in it now.
Do you think that was an era of football? It was very sort of 4-2-3-1 was the formation.
Yeah.
And it was stodgy. Like it was, World Cup 2010 was the sort of the
apotheosis of it. Yeah.
Lots of cancelling out.
Yeah. Yes.
And we're talking the Jorge Valdano shit on a stick era.
Oh, exactly. Great quote from it.
Yeah. Why not bring in Jose Mourinho as well?
Yeah, why not? But didn't he said that about Jose Mourinho? Did he always say that about Benitez?
He was saying that about a particular series of games, actually.
Yeah. I forget who it was specifically. Yeah. But the other thing is that, you know, another thing about modern football is that it looks like there'll probably be 16 players across both teams missing for injury in this game, which tells its own story as well, doesn't it? And that's a shame for a cup final, isn't it?
Is it a leveller, though? Does that make you think that this is a bit more balanced than the league form of these two teams would suggest?
I think there's something to be said for that. I mean, I went to Anfield on Wednesday night, and the first half, I think Liverpool's second half comeback was actually quite extraordinary. I know people will look at it and go, oh, well, you're expected to beat Luton 4-1. But at half time, Luton had played them so well. And Liverpool started like a train, and then they conceded the goal. And there was such a collective knock to the confidence all around Anfield. And there was a sense of, oh, shit, yeah, we haven't got Darwin or Salah or Szoboszlai or Alisson or any of those to fall back on. And there seemed like a group realisation of like, there's going to have to be something special to dig us out of that. And I think what they did in the second half, it's ridiculous to say it would be a turning point of their season, because obviously they're top of the league. Uh-huh. They're in this cup final. You know, they're favourites for the Europa League, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But by the same token, it felt like they could have quite easily folded. And the way that in a game that normally, I guess, wouldn't have an incredible atmosphere at Anfield, because it's not a Man United, or it's not even a Chelsea, where there is some sort of historic rivalry.
It's a team in the relegation zone, Andy.
Yeah, the way that the equaliser and the second goal, which came quite soon afterwards from Gully Hakpo, were celebrated, made it feel like it was an occasion, a moment, even if only for that little bit of the game.
Yeah. Well, Klopp is very quick to jump on these things and to use them to their advantage. You saw we spoke about this on Ramble Reacts on Wednesday night, that he was saluting all the stands, and the way he spoke about it, Jim, after the game, that it did seem like that they'd a standout kind of performance. And he said what we did in the second half is extraordinary, and so on and so forth.
I mean, you'd always retrospectively look at that and think they were going to be favourites to win, even with players missing. Cody Gakpo's second goal was a brilliant example of the quality they've got. The absolute epitome of a sort of like kind of a glancing header without him having actually to leap as well. It was almost like, you know, when someone in the office looks to camera.
Yeah.
Like it was so subtle, the movement of his head. It was brilliant. But I think what we were talking about on Reacts was how well Klopp uses those things and uses them to just pump energy into the fan base, essentially, because it's such a big thing.
But I think
obviously it's really emotional now because of this sort of essentially this kind of farewell tour vibe needs to keep going, because it's going to be really, really heavily scrutinised if ever there's a setback. I'm sure there'll come a point when they drop some points and people start going, oh, is it too emotional if they burn themselves out? Yeah. And I think he's essentially trying to sort of protect against that.
I think it's a bit
by leaning into it.
I think it's a bit of a masterstroke, more I think about it, how Klopp has handled this.
Mm.
I feel like
he's
done it in a way where it wasn't leaked, and he's done it on his own terms, and he's done it at a time which is really going to probably channel a huge amount of positivity into the club, the fan base, and the games they play, because they've had enough time to get used to it now, fans. And I just, there's an element of it, I know this isn't really scientific, but there's an element of it where I just feel like now they're just perhaps not going to be denied. Like,
yeah, I can't
see them not lifting the trophy on Sunday. I just feel like it's not going to... There would be an exception to that, which would be that the other team was simply so good that Liverpool could do nothing about it, but Chelsea aren't that team.
No, I think that's it. I think this idea of Klopp pouncing on the emotion... I mean, let's be honest, when Liverpool came back to win 4-1, that didn't really surprise the neutral.
Nah, no way. It's not, exactly.
And Andy, I get what you're saying. This is not a disagreement, if
I'll disagree with him if you want.
Maybe later.
Yeah. I didn't even watch the game, and I'll disagree with him if you want.
When we talk about politics, feel free to disagree.
That is how football is spoken about.
Me and Andy are very aligned on politics. We are both very right wing, and that's just how it is. and the snowflakes would do well to remember that.
Very well. But when you say that Liverpool was, there was that feeling of, well, where's Mo Salah? He's not here, and you mentioned a number of the players. For the neutral looking on, well, you've got Gakpo, you've got Luis Diaz, you've got World Cup winner Alexis McAllister, you've got Harvey Elliott.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, everything's relative and they're the ones living it. Mm. So they are right to say, well, we don't have those players that we normally have. And that's what I mean. This is where Klopp's, if you like, spin or whatever you want to call it, comes in. Mm. Because for me, Liverpool coming back to win that game 4-1 with aplomb was just like, yeah, that's pretty standard.
Totally.
But I think pouncing on it and getting all that energy and so on, and now describing it as the...
But I think the difference between the result and what actually happened in the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the first half, Luton had it totally under control.
No. We've seen this many times with good teams going to bigger teams or you know, playing well for a half and so on. I mean, trust you know as well as I do. That can happen. How long can you keep them going? Well, it breaks. But again, we're talking about what Klopp's doing and into the narrative of Liverpool's season. He's needing a jump. Yeah, the place, it's all worked together and you've got to pounce on it.
That is true.
Yeah.
But by the same token, you can say that they do still have resource, and that's fair. On the other hand...
More than Luton.
On the other hand, look at the bench. And there didn't look like a way that they could really change it. You know, the only player of really great experience they could bring home was Andy Robertson.
You know, who got an assist, by the way.
Yes, that's right. But on the other hand, you know, they end up bringing on Jaden Danes, who did really well.
But
actually,
the point
last 10 minutes, I think if you looked at that Liverpool 11 that started against Luton, and you said at the start of the season, that is going to be the Liverpool 11 for a part of the season, you'd be going, yeah, there's no way they're going to win the league.
Yeah, but and that goes into the point that I'm sort of making here, is that that Liverpool side is far superior to the Luton side. But Klopp needs to give it a bit of a bump. It needs a bit of a, you know, and obviously the players have done that themselves. And then the fans go, and it all's there, and Klopp has pounced on that and go, right, we're bottling this. We're not just letting it go, oh, nice one, thanks very much. This is a marker.
Yeah.
And into the cup final they go.
Well, this is it, isn't it? With an opportunity to win a trophy, that gets even wilder, really, that momentum. Part of me thinks Chelsea just should let Jose do this one. let him come in and do just like sort of freelance.
To make up for the Spurs one, the one that gave Ryan Mason.
Just like do what they did at Anfield that time when Steven Gerrard slipped and just spoil the party when no one's expecting it. I mean, are we giving Chelsea no chance here at all? They are unbeaten in two, which is good for this iteration of Chelsea.
It's not that I'm giving them no chance at all. I just think perhaps the added bit of information about the discussion the guys have just had is just that, you know, I felt a bit, I didn't watch the Luton game. I watched the highlights later. I didn't see the whole game. But if it was anything like the Brentford Man City game of the night before, it just feels like an element to it where it's just like, it's really fucking exhausting playing against those teams for so long.
Yeah.
And Luton may well be able to keep it under control for even an hour, but that doesn't matter because they run out of steam after that. And it's what Brentford did.
You could also say that was what happened to Chelsea the Etihad as well.
Yeah,
which is a similar thing they're going to have to deal with here.
And of course, it's a cup final, right? So you've got players, there will be players in that Chelsea team who have got experience and who've done things at a good level. Players like Raheem Sterling, you know, to a certain extent, Ben Chilwell, who's very experienced. You've got Conor Gallagher, who's having a good season, really. The standout player that Chelsea have had this season has been Cole Palmer, who obviously just fears absolutely no one. So I'm not saying that there's no chance. I'm just saying that for me, it feels a bit like, despite the players they've got missing, Liverpool don't seem like they'll be denied. I think it's annoying for them from their point of view that Alisson and Diogo Jota are out. I think other than that, I think they'll handle it.
I mean, but Kelleher has played.
Yeah, he's played regularly in this competition.
In that final, in the
scored a penalty in a shootout.
Exactly. Yeah. So it is a plus for Chelsea that Alisson's not playing, but I mean it was before. You take what you can. Pochettino has obviously famously never won a trophy during his time in England. It's a chance, obviously. It's a final, for crying out loud. Chelsea also waiting for their first trophy of the Todd Bowley era. It would be nice, Jim, for old Todd to get some affirmation if they won this trophy, wouldn't it?
He'd be delighted.
Do it for Todd.
He would be delighted, wouldn't he?
Do this episode of the Football Ramble for Todd.
Todd's okay, trophy. I'll do it for Todd. Todd, if you win this trophy, it is vindication of your methods. Double down. Double down.
Spend.
I'll tell you what, £1 billion for the cup. But the good news is you get £100,000 back when you win it.
Exactly. If they do win it, if they do win it, they qualify for the kind of preliminary rounds of the Europa Conference League, don't they?
But because they might not be able to enter.
They might not be able to enter it because UEFA spending caps are different from the Premier League, so they might have to ask to be banned from Europe for a year.
So I know for a fact that Todd's going to be at the game. Yeah, I read it earlier. Great.
Checking Todd Copter on the old flight trackers.
I love the way you word stuff. Well, I know for a fact. Why? I read it in a national newspaper.
Tell me what part of that's incorrect.
I said, I love the way you
Thank
do
you.
It.
Thank you. I would like to be the guy who goes there and tells Todd that he can't get in the European football next season. Like when, was it Jeff who did it to...
Nemanja Matic.
Ivanovic.
Yeah. Yes.
No, but I mean, there is still a speculative element to this because we don't know exactly what the sums are.
Sure.
But I kind of like the way that it's been built up as they're playing for the right to serve a European ban next season. To get that out of the way.
Yeah.
So, because they're going to do the same that, say, Juventus will do, like, that competition's a bit too shit for us, so we're going to serve the ban here so we don't have to serve it in a season where we qualify for the Champions League.
And it's also arguably an advantage, because if you're Chelsea or Juventus and you've won the big one, right, you get far fewer games. It's a bit of a shit show, really.
Mm. It's an easier sell to fans, isn't it?
Definitely.
Yeah.
If you said to fans, you know, in this time of year, February, March, April, when it starts to get busy and people get tired and injuries come in, if Aston Villa are in a position where it's a straight shootout between them and Spurs for the top four to get into the Champions League, they want to be playing the Conference League? Really?
Mm.
They've won the big one already, Villa. I know it's a while ago, but they have. Mm. A big club, Aston Villa. You know, it's one of those ones where Europa Conference League...
I think that's slightly different, Villa, because they haven't won a major trophy in such a long while. I think if you're Chelsea, it's an easier sell.
It is, definitely. Yeah. But the Europa Conference League, for example, there are some things to credit it. It's interesting for teams that perhaps wouldn't be able to get a look in
it. Well, for Roma, it was massive. And I think, similarly, it would be massive for Villa. Yeah,
it was huge. Fine, so fair enough. So Villa are maybe more in that category than Chelsea would be. But for teams like Juventus and Chelsea, it's a fucking distraction.
Yeah,
like,
I do agree with you. I think that... Yeah, when you say, you know, Liverpool will be favourites for this, I mean, I agree with you, but this is a real chance for Chelsea.
Yeah,
partially because of those injuries for Liverpool, and it'll be interesting to see if, you know, you assume Caicedo and Fernandes are in there in that midfield. Can they get a proper tune? Because they have had moments this season.
This is it, isn't it? They have had games where you think it's all about to click. And
if they can play every game together for the next 6 months, you feel like that'll be really powerful.
Absolutely, yeah. And it would be... I mean, Chelsea fans have had a wild ride the last couple of years, and it would be a real boon for them to win something now, surely. It'd be amazing. They must be looking at this team thinking... I don't know what this team is because they're so inconsistent and so surprising. If they were to win something, it would be...
And it wouldn't just be winning something, it would be beating Liverpool as well.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a big prize on offer that's worth more than 100 grand.
Mm. Yeah, but there is also 100 grand.
It's 100 grand.
Don't do the prize.
It's a lot of money to some people.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Not anyone involved. It's a lot of money to some people.
Not money to us. Yeah.
Oh, dear. It's worth reminding that Fulham... got 25 grand for that semi-final.
There you go. Wow. Yeah. That was cold comfort, that.
Nobody goes away empty-handed.
They got the BFH. Yeah. They got their bus fare home. If you get to the quarter-final, you get a bus home.
It's more PFH, isn't it?
Mm. Oh, dear. Yeah. I think that's it. You get to the semi-final, right? You're 25 grand, that's safe. Yeah. That's in the bag.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Now, gentlemen, have you seen that former Chelsea manager... And at the time of recording, current Bayern manager, Thomas Tuchel. Even as I say that, he's reportedly open to a return to the Premier League in the summer, because him and Bayern will be parting ways at most in the summer. Yeah. It could well happen before that. But you can hear all about old Tommy Tuchel's demise at Bayern on yesterday's edition of On the Continent with Dot and Andy and Nikki. Just head over to On the Continent for all your European football needs. Now, speaking of Germany, we mentioned the protests, or you chaps did, on Monday at Hansa Rostock versus Hamburg, where stadium staff had to boot some remote control cars off the pitch. That was just the latest protest against the German Football League's plan to sell part of its media rights to a private equity company. On Wednesday, it was finally announced that the league had decided it won't proceed with the deal.
Fan power.
The remote controlled cars are the way to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, not even the football players could kick them off the pitch at Cologne, by the way.
There were the radio control cars. And I do feel like we need to start distinguishing between remote control cars and radio control cars. Like,
yeah,
it's probably
a different
conversation for now. But they were the type of cars, I said on Monday, that once you flipped them over, they carried on.
Yeah. Yes.
And I love the detail there. Yeah. Mm.
They're not just ones
through.
Where they go forward and then back and to the left.
On the cable.
Much, much more.
Yeah. Big little cable with a dial. No, they're much more advanced than that.
Right, okay.
Yeah, and I think, you know, what English football fans should do, and I know what Marcus is going to say, he's going to say, yeah, but it was English football fans who stopped the Super League, which I agree with.
Without remote control. Imagine what they could have done with it.
Exactly.
Yeah,
they could have actually got the whole game back with the remote control cars. But it does go to show you that if football fans of English clubs spent less time laughing at the demise of their fellow fans' clubs and more time targeting their attention on the powers that be that are fucking this shit up for everyone, it would be better. And Germany consistently set a good example for this.
But there will be people looking at this going, well, why don't you want money?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's been common theme across social media. And obviously, you've got to be careful with how much weight you give that. But it is an opinion that's repeatedly out
there. But those people, and I agree, that does exist, that opinion. But the thing we've got to get past, not just on this show, but not just in sport, but in life, is that not everyone's opinion is worth anything.
Oh, absolutely.
But most people's opinion is worth the square root of absolutely fuck all.
Yeah, platform doesn't mean that your opinion holds
any
weight.
So the reason that is, you know, if someone said to me, why don't you want more money, right? Because it's not about that. And it's never as simple as that. And stop having terrible opinions, you dreadful moron.
But once it comes...
It's the answer.
I apologise.
I was looking at Andy, but it's kind of you to do that.
When it comes to finding common ground and organising protest, that's the massive difference, isn't it, between England and Germany, certainly in football terms, that they see private investors or private investment on any sort of scale, and this wasn't even an entire takeover, as an existential threat. Whereas we're way, way past that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. We can't even see that from where we are.
A lot of people don't think like that at all.
Yeah. Also, a problem with the kind of the hordes of blue tick dimwits who do think in that money equals good way is that, you know, the people who want to, for example, privatise part of the Bundesliga's, rights or whatever it was, is that they use that as an example of why it's a good thing. And they sort of try and herd those people and grow that voice and use it as opposition to get what they want.
Because these days, everyone in pretty much all walk of life is obsessed with the price of everything but the value of it.
Absolutely.
And it's no value at all.
It is so laudable that these fans have managed to get together and be so disruptive across so many different sets of fans as well and coordinate this protest. It's really, really great.
Very much. Well done to them.
Can we borrow the cars, is what we're saying?
Yeah, exactly.
Can we have them over?
We need and the cars.
We'll pay the Brexit duty and just get them imported.
Yeah.
Some of the organisation as well. Some of the infrastructure. We don't know where to start.
You say that all the time, Jim. Yeah.
Well, we want to start with the cars.
Yeah.
But they'll be stuck at the port for ages.
Yeah.
Pete Donaldson knows.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Anyway, back to the Premier League, where money doth run wild and free. Wolverhampton Wanderers host Sheffield United on Sunday at 1:30. Wolves lost at Bramall Lane earlier this season after a controversial stoppage time penalty.
The good news is Gary O'Neill's definitely over it by now.
Oh yeah,
poor old Gag.
Definitely.
And they'd be top of the league if he got the decisions.
Yeah,
they'd certainly be up there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean they're
they
doing great
statistically
anyway.
Statistically, the team that's been most disadvantaged by those decisions.
Which don't tell Chris Wilder that he'll have a coronary.
Well, so Wilder, he's been fined $11,500 for his comments criticising a referee for eating a sandwich while he was speaking to him. It was other things as well, but we'll frame it at that.
Yeah. It's so funny because you can picture the injustice of it from Chris Wilder's point of view. You imagine him just getting home, slamming the door, throwing his keys on the table. I've been fined like north of $11,000 for moaning about a bloke eating a sandwich. It was disrespectful. It's cost me $11,000.
As he gets home, his wife is making a sandwich. Yeah. but Jim, you've got to remember, he's been fined for the comments, not the sandwich.
Sure, absolutely.
So the comments where he was actually fined for were saying that I've been told, like he's doing some kind of deep state
the
wicked
sandwich,
whisper.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I've been told from a great contact, touching his nose.
Oh, it was a bit Liz Truss, wasn't it?
Yeah, every 50-50 season is going to go against us. It's bullshit. It's a complete undermine of the whole system.
Yeah.
He has to be fined for that.
Yeah, he does.
The sandwich is a red herring, and that is a metaphor. No one's suggesting the sandwich was a red herring sandwich. but it is a red herring.
Would that have made it disrespectful? There's a big old fish in there hanging out.
He's like, top
cat. What are you doing?
And the referee just puts the whole fish in his mouth and sucks it out. And there's your phone.
That's a lovely old reference.
Yeah. Big fan of top cat. Man. Don't see it enough in cartoons.
Con cat. Wearing a waistcoat.
I do prefer the other version, though, that he's essentially just been fined for being a boomer. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Chris Wilder is a man who thinks Lucozade is medicine.
Yeah, he does.
But I just love the idea. Yeah, sorry, you've used the phrase so-called modern art there. That's going to be £500.
Yeah, and he's totaling up that $11,500 fine and how many Rennies he could buy with that. Yeah.
It's daylight robbery. That's another £50.
Yeah. Yes.
You can't say anything these days. Another
Come
grand.
On.
Is he exclusively talking to the teacher from the Breakfast Club? Is that where this is going?
He could be. I like Chris Wilder as the teacher of the Breakfast Club, don't you? I reckon he'd do a great job of it.
Yeah.
He'd say to all of the film would be about 10 minutes long. Stop your fucking moaning.
Yeah.
Shut up and sit down.
Mm.
That'll be it.
Going across the halfway line as a fullback. That's a fine.
Another Saturday detention.
Yeah.
I'm just enjoying how grumpy he is so much. He wasn't this grumpy before, was he?
He'd put all the players in Saturday detention. They wouldn't be able to play. Oh, good old Chris. The thing is, it's a massive distraction from the fact that like his team are garbage. Total garbage.
Well, you can't. It's, well, it's the team. It's not
it's
his
difficult,
team,
isn't it? Because
really.
He did so much great work there before, but he's come in now at a time where that's all been dismantled and is irrelevant, and he's essentially been tasked with doing a firefighting job. It's really, really difficult.
But he's doing it badly.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
His career has
essentially been dismantled in the meantime.
Sure.
Because it was all building. So when he got Sheffield United in the Premier League the first time, what he'd done at every different level was so laudable. You know, you look at what he did at Northampton, what he did at Oxford. I mean, it was a really fascinating modern coaching story.
Yeah.
But since then, it's gone south big time. So the fact that he's come in to try and revive it is just an admission that there's no money in the cupboard is bare, really, isn't it?
Oh, it's the situation. I don't know anybody who could go in.
But it's his demeanour. Like Andy's absolutely right. I mean, that time I think Northampton might have been the same league as Portsmouth, so I remember following them and they were amazing. And it's almost like he's gone from aesthetically, he's gone from like Graham Potter to kind of Nathan Jones.
Yeah,
like, do you know what I mean? It's like he's the stuff he says is getting more and more risible. And I suppose that's because he's under pressure and because in the Premier League it's really unforgiving and his team are getting whopped all the time.
Is it also a sense that I'm only going to be in the Premier League for this little period of time? So let's just go mad.
Go down swinging, essentially.
Yeah, definitely.
Go down moaning.
Yeah.
Gary O'Neill tucking into a little sandwich on the bench.
That'd be a great wind-up, that.
That would be good. Now, I wanted to bring to everybody's attention João Gomes. Or Gomes, Andy?
Gomes.
No, it'd be Gomes because he's Brazilian.
Oh, okay.
Right. But if he was Portuguese, how would they say it?
Gomes.
It would be Gomes.
Yeah.
I regret now he's not Portuguese, but anyway, that's between me and him. He scored 2 goals for Wolves, of course, last weekend in the victory over Spurs. His nickname, everybody, is the Pitbull.
Mr. Worldwide.
Come on.
Mr. Worldwide.
Mr. Premier League.
Okay, so it's a gig, Marcus, that you've got a ticket for.
Here we go.
It's Pitbull.
Who am I inviting?
It's Pitbull. Well, you wait and see until you hear what it is. It's Pitbull cosplaying as John Bon Jovi, doing the whole of Definitely Maybe. Are you going?
I think I could invite anybody to that.
Yeah, it's something for everyone there. Yeah. Exactly. And then as a plot twist in the second half, it's actually Liam Gallagher dressed as Pitbull doing Bon Jovi songs. You don't know where you are, but you're having a great time.
Yeah, I do know where I am. I'm there.
Yeah,
there's nowhere
in the
else to play. Nowhere else to be.
Yeah.
Coming up in the second half, we've got Manchester United, we've got Aston Villa, and we've got Joe Hart. See you in a minute.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
What's wrong with being a journalist?
For me?
Yeah, what's wrong with being a journalist?
Oh, I'm a manager. My life is better than yours, so...
Pep Guardiola speaking to a journalist there.
Yeah, and isn't it just amazing how As soon as a manager makes a joke that's quite funny, all the other comradeship in journalism just goes like rats leaving a sinking ship, and they'll just go, look, to the piss out of you. Yeah. There's no solidarity whatsoever. But it was quite a funny line.
I think they should have turned on him.
I think so. I think they should have just been greeted with silence and said, please respect our profession, is what I think should have happened. But obviously never going to happen, is it?
Well, but maybe, though, they'd been a bit jokey and... I don't know.
It's the most emasculating thing to happen in a press conference since Louis van Gaal got tucked into Neil Custis.
Yeah, but we were for that, though.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing.
Well, from one current Man City man to a former Manchester City man, Joe Hart, he's announced that he'll be retiring from football at the end of the season.
Yeah, I want to express my sympathies to you here, mate. It must be a difficult time. How are you feeling?
Yeah,
One more go on the waltzer in the summer. One more go on the England waltzer. Get him in the third choice. Come on.
I did think to myself, is this him? Just come on, Gareth.
You've earned this. Joe, you've earned this.
One should be reminded that he's had a very impressive career.
A fine career.
100%. Yep. No, I think you should be in a situation now where, you know, it's fair game. We make an entertainment show about football, so it's all fair game. Mm. When someone announces, sometimes. So when someone announces their retirement, I think it's only fair that you kind of give them the credit they deserve. It's hard being a footballer.
And I'm really pleased for Joe Hart that he actually finished his career at Celtic, unless he has some odd loan move, although I don't think that can happen. I'm really pleased because Hart, he went through the lower leagues and did his time on loan and so on and all that, and then he gets to Manchester City, and by and large, you know, has a great time at Man City. He wins league titles. I think he won every domestic trophy there. He may not have played in the final of the League Cup. Could have been Pantillimon anyway. You get the picture. Played European football.
Represented his country many, many times.
Yeah, 75 England caps, I think it was, or there or thereabouts. He was the number one in this country. I think the problem, not the problem, I think that Joe Hart, for maybe a season or two, looked unbeatable. We thought and hoped that he might, or is he going to kick on to sort of Manuel Neuer-esque kind of levels here? There was a performance in particular that I remember when Man City were at home to Dortmund, and he was just...
Yeah, I remember that.
That was an incredible game.
Yeah. And so he had these moments where people thought, blimey, is this the guy? In the same way when someone like Wayne Rooney, when Messi and Ronaldo come along, you think, is Rooney our version of that? And of course, Messi and Ronaldo go to different levels. Rooney had a phenomenal career, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But couldn't quite, you know. And it depends how you frame it. And Joe Hart, the mistakes started happening. And I think maybe because there was so much pressure, and perhaps he heaped the pressure on himself. And this resulted in him, you know, Guardiola turning up at Man City and saying, he's not my man. And then he was just in the wilderness a bit.
Yeah.
Goes to Torino on loan. He tried West Ham. At Burnley, he was there for a bit, but then...
But the way he was bombed out of Spurs was unfortunate as well, because Nuno ended up just going a few months later anyway.
Well, exactly. But at Spurs, it seemed like he thought, okay, I'll settle as a number two and I'll just take bits and pieces. Yeah. And he was better than that. So to finish at a huge club like Celtic, playing at a massive stadium...
Where he's important and he wins stuff.
Yeah. Totally. Yes. I was really pleased.
It was all about the way that he left Manchester City.
Yeah.
In the fact that he had that dip. And just because Guardiola didn't fancy him, and because of Guardiola, people forget this, but he was treated with real suspicion.
Yeah.
And a lot of people out there wanted him to fail. Uh-huh. When he arrived. I think a lot of people in the media wanted him to fail when he arrived. It was turned into this sort of false culture war stuff when basically he was just out of nick.
Mm.
And then he made that move to Torino, which was quite a panicky and really bad one.
I respect it. You know, go into a different footballing culture.
It was just a bad move. Not because it was abroad, but because... It was a club at a lot level, lower level than he was used to, who had lost a load of their major defenders, and it was set up for him to look quite bad. And it is all about, when you're managing your career, picking the right clubs at the right time if you do have that opportunity as well. And that really set him back for a couple of years. So the fact that he has managed to recover, I think is really impressive.
And I would just add, look, I think there was a period of time very good, and
part of City becoming City,
definitely. Mm,
definitely. And then they've got a training pitch or something named after him.
I'm sure they have. His clean sheet record at Manchester City isn't much different to Edison's. That's worth pointing out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one thing that hasn't been mentioned here is just that, you know, Guardiola said that he wasn't his guy, but the reason he said he wasn't his guy is probably because he couldn't quite occupy the goalkeeping role as Guardiola understood he wanted it to be. And that can happen. That's happened to loads of other keepers as well. That's just how it goes. But I mean, as I said, there was a period of time where he was sensationally good. I mean, he won a load of clean sheet records at City, Premier League clean sheet records at City. And I don't watch Scottish football very closely, but on the Ramble Discord, which is accessed by our Patreon subscribers, there's quite a few Celtic fans on there. Nothing but great stuff to say about him. Yeah. There was no element or no suspicion that he's going up there for a lovely little retirement gig. He really threw himself into it, achieved what he achieved. And I think people are very, very appreciative of what he did up there and how he threw himself into it. So look, it's been an amazing career. I mean, 75 England caps, isn't it? I mean, that doesn't come by accident. That's an incredible effort. You know, I know England team plays a lot more games than it used to, but 75 games for England is big.
Yep.
England, even at their worst, are never that bad.
Yeah.
And for him to occupy that jersey for such a long time tells you everything you need to know about his quality. And I think he deserves to be credited for that.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. All right, back to the Premier League. Manchester United are hosting Fulham on Saturday at 3 p.m. Of course. Still the current holders of the Carabao Cup, Manchester United. They won't be for much longer. Now, what do you think of new co-owner Sir Jim Ratcliffe doing his first broadcast interview with the BBC this week? Interesting takeaways, you might say. I mean, it's you're a fellow Jim. What did you reckon? Well,
goodest place to start as any.
Fellow
Jim billionaire.
Yeah. More insight.
More pollution.
Lot of bad gyms out there. Davidson. Ratcliffe.
Fitness first.
Many of them. But
And someone not alive, of course.
Indeed.
He means Jimmy Savile.
The ones we don't talk about, absolutely.
Sir Jimmy Savile, apologies.
He is adding to this pile. Sir Jim Ratcliffe.
Yeah.
A lot of bad knights called Jim. It's surprising. Although I suppose it is something to aim at.
Sounds like a Charles cartoon series. The Bad Knights of Jim. So
he is the latest bad knight called Jim. And it's a big sort of PR strategy here, isn't he? He's trying to get people on board. Understandably, make a lot of good noise about sort of, you know, getting Man United back to where they want to be. And I understand that's probably quite exciting as a Man United fan, isn't it? But the whole thing about the stadium is interesting to me.
Yeah, same. I found that the most interesting
talking
bit as well.
About how he thinks it's completely reasonable that there should be a kind of Wembley of the North, etc. And that kind of ignores the fact that no club plays at Wembley. The Etihad's about to be expanded as well. Yeah. Like there are stadiums.
I thought
there.
It was a touch tone deaf of all.
Yeah, but he's piping up with that because he doesn't want to spend his own money on it.
Absolutely,
it's dishonest,
isn't it? That's it.
And in the reinventing himself as this like champion of the people.
Yeah,
it's ludicrous. Yeah. Well, there's no investment in the North.
I've
got loads of money.
You've got billions.
So, government, you invest in the North.
Yeah.
Well, now's your chance, big boy.
And recently, government, you've got a very, very good track record of just doing whatever billionaires say. So why don't you continue that and invest on my behalf? I think that. There's a bit of context here I think is interesting, is that in the US, it's pretty pretty regular for sports stadiums to be funded by the locality, whether it be the state or whatever. And I personally believe, as someone from the outside looking in, while fully admitting I don't know the nuances and the actual detail of it, it's a scandal, really, because it's far easier for billionaires to own sports franchises in the US and then get the locality, the state, whoever it may be, to build the stadium because they hide behind this veneer of, it's going to be great for the local area, for jobs and all the rest of it. The reality is, yes, people do get employed by it, but it costs an incredible amount of money these days to make a modern stadium. And I think, it's as Marcus says, tone deaf is absolutely right. If you've got billions and billions in your bin and you want to be a legend and the saviour of Man United, then go and be the saviour of Man United. Do your thing or don't. Don't try and have it both ways because it looks at best tone deaf and at worst you look like an idiot.
Do you not think Manchester United are the saviours of the North?
I think they
What do you think of the... Do you think Liverpool will be...
They are the pride of all Europe and the cock of the North, as they say.
Do you think Liverpool will see it as a national team? Perhaps, you know...
Well, I'll tell you what happens.
Leeds, they'll see it as... Marcus, thankfully, Man United have done us all a favour.
If nothing changes, I'll tell you exactly what will happen. They'll get the new stadium and the first game will be Liverpool home and they'll get whopped out 5-0. That's what will happen.
Can we have a moment on the perch as well? Because he said he wants to knock Liverpool and City off their perch.
Oh, yeah.
And he's obviously referring to Alex Ferguson saying that.
Who did
took over at Man United. Well, that's it. Alex Ferguson did knock them off the perch. Man United are currently at the top of the perch because they've won the most titles. And that's what that referred to. It's like,
they've
shat all
over the perch,
know that,
haven't they?
Yeah, they have shat all over the perch, definitely.
Maybe that's Sir Jim's way of saying, like, cryptically, I am going to replicate Sir Alex Ferguson, by which I mean I will be the next manager of Man United. That'd be amazing.
Another night of the realm.
You guys are talking about him being a morally bankrupt skinflint, but at least he's prepared to pay up for Dan Ashworth.
That's true. That's true.
He said it's absurd that Newcastle have placed Dan Ashworth on gardening
leave. It's absurd that we should ride in here on a white horse and say we're going to get the best of everything, but we don't actually want to pay for it.
Yeah.
It's only absurd because it's not what he wants.
Yeah.
And it's also because what Andy's referring to is the fact that he could pay the money to leverage him out of his deal right now with Newcastle, but he's refusing to do so. So he's just letting him rot on gardening leave for however long it takes, right? Until the end of the contract, and then he'll take him.
And he made some comment about how, you know, you wouldn't have managers doing that to players. And again, it's a false comparison, isn't it? Mm. It's just completely self-serving and dishonest.
Depending on the context and all, gardening leave can be a lovely old job.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure Dan will be fine with it, won't he? But what about Fulham? They're swinging into town, looking to upset the apple cart at United.
Well, no one's talking about them.
Yeah,
not on this podcast. Well, so they got a chance.
They do have a chance. They've got the new stand isn't ready. If we're going to talk about the stadiums and all that kind of stuff, it does serve a specific part of the south of England.
Yeah, are you shouting Fulham for the new national stadium?
Well, the Fulham owner tried to buy it, didn't he? Wembley.
He did, but it's a much better walk for fans than it is up to Wembley. Yeah.
To be fair, Marcus, couldn't they just do a whip round with a bucket in the stadium and pay for that in one afternoon?
Yeah, probably could. Yeah. One row for 10 minutes.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. People are almost tied up in equity. Speak to your broker. All right.
Look, aristocracy is not what you think. Okay. But look, I think Fulham, talking about the game itself, Rodrigo Muniz is...
What a player.
Four in his last three games.
Fine on his feet. When we went to go and see them, he was brilliant.
He was.
Absolutely brilliant against Bournemouth.
Yeah. And I think that a goal at Old Trafford would do him lovely.
I think I can see him scoring at Old Trafford.
I can.
The whole succession to Mitrovic is so weird, though, isn't it? Mm. The way that it's happened in stages. So you had Raul Jimenez, who looked like he was never going to score again, coming in and scoring goals.
Yeah.
Carlos Vinicius looked like he might be it for a bit. Now he's off at Galatasaray. And Muniz, who didn't look anywhere near it a couple of weeks ago, now looks fantastic.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's...
I mean, Raul Jimenez will be very, very happy with that review from you, Andy. He scored five goals total for Fulham in the whole time he's been there.
Yeah, a lot of them came recently, though, didn't they?
Well,
there was a glut. It was very James Beattie-esque, wasn't it?
Ooh. James Beattie built an entire career, including England appearances, I think. Did he play for England?
He did.
I think he might have done, on about 4 months over Christmas one season where he was sensational.
Free kick at Stamford Bridge?
Yeah, I think that was part of it.
Still the best review you've ever given to a Southampton player.
And the best review a Southampton player will ever get from me. But I thought Muniz was impressive. I thought he looked like that. It wasn't just that he scored. He scored two against Bournemouth, Marcus, did he? Mm. When we were there? Was it two he scored?
He
definitely scored at least one. It was a beauty at the far post.
He did get two, what were we talking about?
But it wasn't just that. It was like his all-round game that was really good. He was a proper handful.
Yeah.
And I think the nature of Mitrovic, I mean, I think it's the anniversary today of Mitrovic breaking the Championship scoring record. Uh-huh. You know, he's massive for Fulham.
Is that why Marcus has got a black armband on?
He was brilliant in goals, but he also just represented more than that.
Yeah.
He was like a proper focal point, and people were like...
A space taker.
Yeah, I think so, because I think Fulham fans were a bit like, we've got a genuinely class striker here, and not that many clubs outside the top clubs really have that. I mean,
you talk about
even Chelsea at the moment, what do they need? They need one, and they haven't really got one if you discount Nkunku because he's hardly played.
Yeah, I mean, Brentford would be the other...
If you get one, it's like a real jewel in the crown.
Totally.
And so for Fulham to have lost him is a real blow, as Marcus has already articulated on the show many, many times. But if they can get someone who can be a real kind of graduate into that position, and I just thought against Bournemouth, he looked like he could bring the all-round game. It wasn't just like he was hustling and bustling
presence,
in the penalty area.
Not just goals.
Delighted
a lot of Fulham fans because he's been at the club for a long time.
Yeah.
And he's still a young man, and he came across from Brazil, of course, an even younger man. That's how time works. And he went on loan at Middlesbrough. And it was one of those players where you think, are we ever going to see this sort of click? Now, of course, it's early days.
It's like Harry Kane.
Yeah, it is a bit.
Yeah.
I think he'll be bigger than Harry Kane.
Will he get a statue like Harry Kane?
That's the question.
Sculpted by his brother.
Yeah.
Well, they love a statue at Fulham, didn't they?
Apparently, you heard about this Harry Kane statue.
I have, yeah.
The Schrodinger's statue, yeah, really, isn't it?
Yeah, sculpted by Charlie Kane.
Apparently, there's a statue of Harry Kane, if you didn't know this, in storage up by Chingford in northeast London. And it was discovered by somebody. And they were like, "All right, but we haven't seen any photos of it. Like, yeah. Give us a snap."
Because apparently, it didn't meet regs to be on the platform. They wanted to put it on the platform
of Chingford Station.
So, yeah. Hang on. Do we think that there is a warehouse at Chingford that has a load of football statues in there? Maybe that's where they've hidden the Zlatan statue. Remember, they had to take it down to protect it from the Malmo fans.
Like terracotta army, but with football.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be amazing. I heard that Charlie Kane got genuinely confused between his actual brother and the statue. And for all we know. Yeah. It could have been a swap where Harry Kane could have been in storage for years and the statue was actually playing for Bayern Munich.
That's what Thomas Tuchel argued the other night.
I might think that is going five for Thomas Tuchel is the amount of goals Harry Kane scoring, though, isn't it? Yes, I mean, it's one thing is going on.
That is one thing. But yes, so...
But that statue had a release clause.
I don't think Muniz is going to get a statue anytime soon at Fulham, but it was delightful when you see that player just do something great, especially in the Premier League as well. He's been on a long journey and so on. And like I say, who knows where... this could go for him now. Obviously, in Fulham's case, you want it to go all up and up and up. But yeah, it was the fans were really, really delighted. He's that type of player, and you think, oh, look at his little face smiling away. So let's have you doing bits at Old Trafford.
I can see him getting a go at Old Trafford. I really can.
I think Fulham are going to win. Aren't you, yours, you do? Everybody. Yeah, why not? 2-1.
Is that the game you chose in the Betfair section?
It isn't.
No, coward. Carry on. It's cowardly. It is cowardly.
How is it cowardly?
Because if that's what you sincerely think, you should have chosen them.
Yeah, but it's not what. Have I got other opinions on the other games as well?
Fulham are in your heart. They're in your soul.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Well, they're. Right.
Accept the charge of cowardliness and we'll move on.
I'm not accepting that.
Okay. Can we both agree that Andy's a coward?
We can.
Okay, let's move on.
There we are. And yours was not proven. According to Scottish law. Aston Villa versus Nottingham Forest. After winning 16 of their last 17 league games at Villa Park, Aston Villa have now lost their last two there.
Go and get the banner.
It's piss poor.
Mm. Go and get the banner.
It's not good enough, Andy.
It's a big one. It's a derby. It's the European Cup.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
As Luke would say.
Absolutely. Would I say that? I probably would.
Well, you were talking about Villa and their recent European trophy
wins. I said it was quite a while ago, but they have won the big one, is what I said. Roll the tape.
Yeah. The year I was born.
Yeah. There you go, exactly. 1964. Yeah.
So they should be happy with that and just move
on.
It is a lovely one that Aston Villa have won. Aston Villa have been European champions.
I feel a certain warmth to this fixture because of
those reasons. It's a classic Premier League big. It's a big Premier League game, this.
I think English football.
Fine. I agree with that as well. Yeah.
And the fact that Forest got back on the wagon with that win against West Ham last week, it feels as if there's something in it. Especially as Villa really needed that win at Fulham last week. Like, really needed that win at Fulham. And they had to, like, quite grimly hang on at the end of it, didn't they?
I could have done without it. But, yeah. I didn't need it, Andy.
No, I couldn't.
When are you going to think of my needs?
But we've talked about your needs already. We've been talking about United Fulham.
I tell you what, the return of Pau Torres from injury was seen as a big need for Aston Villa, though.
It's a big boost for them. And this is crunch time for Aston Villa. You know, I mentioned it a bit earlier in the show. It looks like it might shake out to be a straight shootout for fourth between Villa and Spurs. And Spurs, you know, Spurs on paper, as in they lost at Wolves at home last time out. They haven't really, I mean, it's interesting. Ange Postecoglou's comments around how they haven't really been in control of games, they've seemed quite vulnerable, is really interesting. And if it's a straight shootout between them and Villa, Villa need to get some of that secret sauce back that's been so good for them at home, because to lose your last two at home after being so good is a real surprise, really.
But you say that. Do you think, if you look at the amount of points that Villa got in 2023, I mean, what was it, over 80?
It was mad, yeah.
That is totally unsustainable.
So you just think they can't sustain
it,
right?
You can't start thinking of that as the standard. That they're even in the mix for the top four in the back end of February. It's just a huge, huge compliment to Emery.
Yeah, totally. And Emery's done a sensational job, and no one's taken that away.
It depends how you look at it, though.
Yeah, I think the games they lost at home were to Newcastle United and Manchester United. They could have won both those games.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't like they're playing Man City and Liverpool.
Yeah. But the fact is, they could have won those games and they did okay. You can find encouragement from that, which Emery did. He said, you know, like, we haven't played badly here. And I think that's an important thing for Aston Villa
And they should beat Forest, who are overall a fairly poor team, so.
Of course they should, yeah. I mean, Villa are favourites here, you know. But the fact is, as Andy said, you know, they're fourth position. 11 points off the top with a game in hand on Liverpool, Jim.
The danger is
still believes, man.
Forest coming off the back of a win, which they badly needed.
They've got but it's against West Ham, points. Though.
Yeah, sure.
I could find you. I could find you 11 men, women, and children by the end of the day that could beat West Ham at the moment.
And afterwards, they'd all have the wind in their sails, which is what Forest have. Fair enough.
So speaking of cross purposes, I understand that. Yeah. I've ready fire aimed there, haven't I? I haven't listened to what you were saying.
Yeah. So I mean, that is the danger for Villa here, isn't it? You would think three home losses in a row is probably unlikely, but I wonder if there's the potential for a sort of delayed reaction as Everton had with the way they started just playing brilliantly after the points deduction, with Forest having this hanging over them. They know that they've got to just pick up as many points as they can by hook or by crook, and surely at some point that's going to start kicking in. They were really good against West Ham as well. You have to factor that in.
And the thing about Forest now is they're scoring goals.
They are scoring.
Yeah. And Aston Villa, if you were going to be ultra critical of Aston Villa and talk about what will cost them, despite it breaking Marcus's hearts into tiny little pieces, you know, they won't win the league this season. And the reason they won't win the league this season is because they concede too many. Far more than the teams above them.
Yeah, and I think the loss of Boubacar Camara is big. Because if you're looking for someone to provide that bit of steadiness, especially when you play a high line like that, you need to replace it.
I mean, if Forrest, if they've got Awoniyi there and Alanga and so on. Yeah. I mean,
Saying he's going to go on a BTS run as well?
Possibly, but I'm just saying that there's an obvious tactic here. For Nuno to try and have a go.
And Emery's back line at its best. The back line he's drilled into that Villa side is the best in the Premier League at its best. It's so good.
This will be a really interesting...
But it's not been as good recently.
It'll be a really interesting test of that as well, isn't it? Because Nottingham Forest are so good on the counter. We've seen many, many times part of the plan is essentially use that really good spine.
When they've got everybody fit,
indeed,
they can counter.
But they've got that spine of Murillo, Gibbs, White and Awoniyi up front who are... Yes. They are. It's brilliant through the middle.
All of whom are available.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we're going to... You know, it's either going to be a game with sort of like 15 offsides in it, and it's going to be a bit dull, or it's going to be end to end joy.
Yeah,
it's not dull if you like offsides, though.
Well, absolutely,
It's time for the Football Ramble Acca with Betfair. With Betfair this season, you can build your football accumulators with their 90-minute payout, where all winning selections will be paid out in 90 minutes on their match odds 90 markets, regardless of what happens in added time. So today, we're building an Acca of four match odds 90 bets from across the weekend's football. Andy, with 7 out of 16 correct so far, you're first up.
Arsenal to beat Newcastle United.
Okay.
It's going to be a long journey back, or no journey back at all for some of those Newcastle United fans, isn't it? Because of it kicking off at such a late time and it being at the other end of the country.
Yeah.
I think they will be quite gloomy while they're sorting out their transport issues.
Yeah.
Arsenal starting to find themselves despite the Porto hiccup in the week.
Chuck yourself a good old-fashioned train strike in, then you've got a classic Premier League fixture.
Exactly.
So that's Arsenal to beat Newcastle. Jim?
I have gone for Man City to beat Bournemouth. Now, I'm on a run of four defeats in a row.
You've got 9 out of 24 overall.
It's not a good record. Mm. So what I did last weekend was I tried to use my curse for good by backing Spurs. Spurs lost. I'm hoping the same thing will happen again. So I'm going for Man City to beat Bournemouth. 9 out of 20. It's not good.
Just a reminder here, we are raising money for Prostate Cancer UK.
Yeah, and Jim's joking.
Yeah, of course he is. Marcus?
I've gone for... Why have I... Crystal Palace to beat Burnley.
Yeah.
New manager bounce.
I just thought...
You've looked at what's happened at Palace over the last 4 or 5 weeks and you've liked what you've seen and you've got other people going to beat Burnley.
Yeah, these guys are going to click. I thought to myself, well, Burnley...
What a team. You always go, what an outfit.
Burnley aren't going to
They don't even need their three best players.
Yeah, I was tempted with the draw.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. But no, I think Palace, they're going to do it.
Well, I mean... Wilson, they've got to win at some point again soon.
You think so?
Burnley, by the way, it's gone under the radar how poor Burnley are, because all the gravity's been taken up by Sheffield United.
Yeah.
So, okay, Crystal Palace to beat Burnley. My selection, and Marcus is on 15 out of 25, it's not bad. I've got 11 out of 18 correct, which is the best in the entire organisation.
Shows how many Fridays off you have.
Sometimes I treat myself, Jim. I'll take Friday off this week. I've gone for Liverpool to beat Chelsea in the League Cup final. I think, you know, I said at the top of the show that I can't see Liverpool being denied, so I've gone for them to beat Chelsea. Of course, that'll have to win in 90 minutes for me to for me to get the positive result. So in summary, Arsenal to beat Newcastle, Manchester City to beat Bournemouth, Palace to beat Burnley, and Liverpool to beat Chelsea. £10 with Betfair on that return, £66.18. And if we win, all that money will go to Prostate Cancer UK. Plus, for every stoppage time goal in the Premier League this weekend, Betfair will donate £10 to Prostate Cancer UK, and we've raised £570 already this season. So it's a really positive thing. Remember, with Betfair this season, when you place a bet on their match odds 90 markets, your winning bet paid out at in full at 90 minutes. Any bets that are winning at 90 minutes but are then undone by some stoppage time drama, which we see a lot in the Premier League, will not be affected. And that's the same for our Rambalaka every week. It's exclusive to Betfair Sportsbook. T's and C's apply. 18 plus only. For more information on responsible gambling, head to begambleaware.org.
Dean Smith also says you're an encyclopedia of football.
What?
An encyclopedia of football.
I don't know what that means.
Jack's Encyclopedia, and we're not going to go over the rules because obviously I won last week after correctly answering that Mike Bassett's England faced France. The less we speak about that, the better, and I've decided I'm not playing this game again. Luke holds the lineal belt
the subject
after he took last Friday off.
Well, the thing is, it's no coincidence that I've started to do all right when the subjects have got more and more ridiculous. I think I won when I had to just name an airport last time.
So I got done on airports.
Yeah, I would take it as a genuine reflection of football knowledge.
I did win anyway, on city, British city or English city population.
Yeah,
you know, so it's
I think Jim has hit on something. Classic bit of Morzo winning and then taking his ball home.
Congratulations. No, and I would say
anyway,
this.
Anyway, let's proceed with the game. You know the rules. It's a simple game of categories. If you go too slow, I'll pay Gary Neville's orgasm, which will leave you 7 seconds. I'm not putting up with any shit because we're running long. We've got to get on with this.
Okay.
Category one.
Bon Jovi albums.
420 options.
Category one. Players who started the 2022 EFL Cup final between Chelsea and Liverpool. Of course, there are 22 options.
There are.
And Marcus Speller is going to start us off.
Oh, I'll have Virgil van Dijk. I hate these ones.
Yeah.
Because the most obvious answers, you're always so nervous.
It's the EFL Cup final, isn't it?
Yeah, Luke? I know it is, yeah.
I'll go Mo Salah.
I'll go for Jordan Henderson.
Thanks, Jimbo.
Kepa.
Nice.
Oh no. Hang on.
Oh.
You're
Marcus
joking.
Is out.
You're joking.
You're thinking of the one under Sarri, aren't you?
2022
yeah.
EFL Cup final.
Okay. I'll go Thiago Silva.
Well played.
Go for Mason Mount.
Ooh. Yeah, the forgotten Mason Mount. Not forgotten by us.
Let's go Kai Havertz.
Nice.
Sadio Mane.
Oh, was he still? Yeah, okay, good. Andy Robertson.
Nice. Go for Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Oh, safe. The aforementioned Quiven Kelleher.
It's very good. You're getting a lot of right answers, but I'm not happy with the pace.
Okay, well, would we go as quick as we can, mate? Fucking hell. Jim, you're up.
I will go for Cesar Azpilicueta.
Oh, good.
Excellent.
I think Luis Diaz started it. Yes!
Roberto Firmino?
Oh, he's gone by then, hasn't he? He must have gone.
He was still there.
22, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, he wasn't starting then. Then he was probably sub by then.
So there you go. 1 point to Luke.
I also have Mateo Kovacic. Is he in there?
Yeah, he did. That would have been correct. Antonio Rudiger, Christian Pulisic, Edouard Mendy.
Yeah.
Fabinho, Joel Matic, Marcus Alonso, Naby Keita, N'Golo Kante, and Trevor Chalobah. So there we go. One for the defending champ.
For the champ.
Bit confidence.
Here
bit
we go.
Confidence now.
Jim,
but the
this
pressure...
is where we do tactical voting.
I feel like Reform UK.
Yeah. To Andy's Tories.
And accordingly, the pressure is on you, Mr. Moore, as you start with one of the 20 clubs Mark Clattenburg gave out the most yellow cards to. I mean, this is a
it's a guessing
category.
Game.
It is a guessing
That's
game.
That's a guessing game.
Yeah.
Okay, so what year was he in? Can I have a little bit of time to think about this?
No, you can't.
No.
What year was he referencing?
It's a guessing game, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it really is.
Fucking Portsmouth.
They were shit.
Yeah! I'm just thinking of teams that are shit and have the
yes.
ball.
Oh, yeah. Dear.
Let's go for Spurs.
Oh, nice.
Everton.
Very good.
safe bet, I'd say.
I'm just glad I'm still in it.
Oh, just fuck it. Name a club. Blackburn.
Very good.
Crystal Palace.
Just name a shit team and never have the ball. Please, I do.
Sunderland.
Oh, the Sunderland club didn't work.
Wrong game.
So I went first. So Mark is out, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's back to me again.
Yes.
Jim, you have the hopes of the nation on you here.
Yeah.
I am literally just naming shit teams. Bolton Wanderers.
Come on, Jim.
West Brom.
Yes, Jim.
Come on, Jim. Would he been given a lot of big games?
For the sake of democracy, Jim.
Burnley.
God's sake. How is Sunderland not in there?
Villa.
God, Jimbo.
Jim.
What a shootout this is.
You said Everton, right?
Yeah.
Don't say that, Jim. The Lib Dems over there.
Liverpool. Oh, just
bloody
a guess.
Hell.
It's just a guess, isn't it?
Arsenal.
Oh, my goodness.
You've got to go for your own club first, surely. You think, oh, we're really hard done.
Well, to be fair, I did say shit teams when they have the ball and he went Spurs and it was right.
This is incredible, right?
I can't even remember the teams that have been
named. I don't think anyone has come back from
Stoke City.
I think that's
this
a good shout.
This is unbelievable.
Really, really good shout.
It's unbelievable.
Man United.
I said it. I said them.
Did you?
No, you didn't.
No, you've never said Man United.
And they were in there.
Oh, Jesus, Jim. This is good.
This is incredible.
Chelsea. We must have run out, man.
Yeah. No, you've still got a few to go.
Man City.
There it is again. Why did I say Sunderland?
Big teams, just big teams now, isn't it? Yeah. It's Torres. West Brom.
I've said them.
Oh.
So, Jim, to take the point.
Fulham?
Yeah!
What a
just
round.
Teams that were in the Premier League a lot.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Because Pats is big time.
That's where I went wrong with Sunderland.
So. Yeah,
you're going to start thinking Gary Neville's your ringtone, aren't you? After that,
yeah,
I mean, blimey. So the remaining ones, it was excellent. The remaining ones were Queen's Park Rangers, Southampton, West Ham, and Wigan Athletic.
We've got 16.
Very good, fellas.
Okay. We would all have fallen down on Wigan, surely.
I'm now satisfied that it's been a reasonably decent defence of the title. So yeah, I don't want to embarrass myself. Yeah, so
that was one of
the all-time
rounds.
Imagine if Pochettino says that tomorrow. Yeah. We've come this far. Yeah. I'm happy with it.
Before the game.
Well, top that, because that was one of the all-time rounds of Jack's Encyclopedia. Yeah. So one to Luke, one to Jim. None to Marcus Speller as stands. Jim is going to start the 16 teams that Derek Adams has lost the most games against.
Oh, my goodness.
Derek Adams has what?
Lost the most games against.
So teams that have given his teams a battering.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. This is a guessing game for me.
Big time.
Portsmouth.
Fucking hell. You've done me a solid there, because I probably would have started with that.
Come on, help me out.
Bradford City.
Well, so I've just got to name one.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say he's done the majority of his career in Scotland, so Celtic.
Oh, no!
Yeah. You just guess a big Scottish team and that's the game.
Dear,
I could have gone Rangers, but I decided to go Celtic. It's come out for me this time.
You could have gone Rangers and you would have been wrong, because these are the other answers. You could have had, of course, you've got to remember the League One and League Two teams. Accrington Stanley, Blackpool, Cambridge, Dundee, Dundee United, Exeter, Inverness Cali Thistle, Kilmarnock, Milton Keynes Dons, Motherwell, Partick Thistle, Queen of the South, Raith Rovers, St Johnston and St Mirren.
So Rangers weren't even in there?
No.
Lukey Moore.
Win's a win, I'll take it. And still... Oh, they say he doesn't defend this title. He's scared.
Well, we didn't know.
You were happy with a narrow loss like minutes ago.
Yeah.
Well, didn't get one, did I?
Fair play to you, Morsey. It's a victory.
The last one was a crapshoot. The second round was a guessing game.
Very good.
And the first one was decent.
Yeah.
It's a victory for
the Luke Nation.
For the Dark Forces.
We've all seen James Tarkovsky trying to flirt with his own wife on camera and how difficult that is.
Yeah.
This game is similar.
I'm flirting with the Luke Nation every day.
You are.
They're behind me. I dedicate this defence to them.
What, you know when you said that?
You're the best, best Luke out there.
Yeah.
He's the best Luke.
For the first time, I think we can unite all the Ramble listeners in saying, can't Vish just come back and win this game?
No way. No way. We never want Vish back to win it. Put him in that chair where he normally sits. I'll beat him as well.
That's true. Easy to say from a distance.
Yeah. A bit like with George W. Bush and Vish. Do you remember when we thought it couldn't get much worse? Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betfair, part of the Acast Creator Network. Join myself, Andy and Luke tomorrow for the mailbag. Do follow us on Twitter, currently known as X, TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble, and follow us on Spotify. Luke, congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thanks to everyone for listening. See you again soon.
Thank you, Jim.
See you tomorrow. Yeah.
Cheers.
Thank you, Andy.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. It's Pitbull time.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
The Championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with The Second Tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real Championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search Second Tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.